You're listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network, now the largest new media platform on the web, and your number one source for after-show entertainment.
Very good, Gene
Johnson.
From the AfterBuzz Studios in Los Angeles, California, presented by Maria Menounos and Bing.com, and streaming live thanks to Akamai Technologies, this is AfterBuzz TV's Real Housewives of New York City After Show. We'll break down tonight's episode and get you all the latest news and gossip. If you'd like to buzz in on tonight's show, you can buzz us at 424-256-1729. That's 424-256-1729. And now, another post-game wrap-up show for your favorite TV show. It's AfterBuzz TV's Real Housewives of New York City After Show.
Hey, everybody. Bing is for doing, and we are here doing another AfterBuzz After Show for the Real Housewives of New York City, Season 5, Episode number 6, called I'm UK... You're UK, which I'm assuming is supposed to be I'm okay, you're okay, but I'm looking at it more like I'm yucky, you're yucky. That just seems more appropriate.
I like it.
Welcome to the show. I'm your host, Kristen Carney, and I have two very lovely co-hosts with me tonight, which I would let them introduce themselves if they would prefer.
Hi, I'm Molly Harper, and you can follow me on Twitter, and you can ask me questions or comments, whatever, at Molly Comedy. And that's Molly with a Y. Molly Comedy.
Awesome. Yerman.
And fantastic. How you doing, everybody? I'm Yerman Gur. You can follow me at Twitter, on Twitter, at Yerman Gur. Y-E-R-M-A-N-G-U-R.
And yes, so I'm Kristen at Kristen Carney on Twitter. So follow me as well if you guys want. If you want to tweet to us during the show, we have our phone sitting next to us, illegally, I think. But do it. We're ready to go. If you have anything to say, let us know and we can bring it up. Or you can also call in at 424-256-1729. But tonight we're going to be talking about the sixth episode of the season, which I have to say I think was the funniest episode thus far.
Concur.
It was funny. I was like, I never do the knee slap, but I did a couple knee slaps.
Did you? Good. Yeah, nice.
Yeah,
nice.
Yeah.
It's funny.
Yeah.
You're going to tell us what those parts were,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, okay. We're going
to get to it. Molly and I are like, uh-huh, yeah, and nothing.
Well, I don't want to jump forward too much. However, okay. It was the dinner with Heather, and okay. It was just so uncomfortable
okay.
And so yeah. Awkward.
You don't have to tell us now. I just want to make sure you
yeah,
do tell us at some point.
It wasn't intentionally funny.
Sure.
I just found it incredibly awkward, so I just had to get the energy out and the knee slapping. Luckily, there was no one next to me. I would just slap them.
Fantastic.
So, I just want to say thanks to everyone on iTunes as well before we get started. Thanks for listening. If you guys want to do us a favor and comment and rate, that would be awesome. You've heard us probably say that before if you've listened in the past, and we really appreciate it, and we read and respond to all of them. So please, if you'd like to rate and comment, that would be excellent. So anyway, on to the episode.
Yeah.
We open up with the women arriving in London. In London,
finally,
slowly collapsing.
I love because the last time we talked about it, you were like, "They're going from New York to London. They're going from a dark, dreary place to a dark, dreary place." Which
right,
right. Cracks me up.
Yeah.
I just didn't think it would change the atmosphere between the women at all. You know, it would kind of be if you're on the beach or something, you're wearing something different, you're acting a little bit different. Mm-hmm. You know, the atmosphere really, I think, will base a lot of your own decisions.
Well, it's like the less clothes you have on, the more stuff can go on. Like if they had been in Miami, maybe. But like they're bundled right. Up in London. What's really
right.
Going to happen?
And the problem with London also is that everyone there is so polite.
Yeah.
That there's going to be no run-ins.
Is that
with
a problem,
anybody.
Really?
Is that a huge problem?
Is that a problem when you're too polite? Darn it, yes. I hate that.
It's a huge plight for these circumstances.
Uh-huh.
Or it's a huge issue because I'd like to see, you know, a little run-in or something. Everyone's just polite and happy and
reserved.
And reserved. I'm sure they're not necessarily happy to see, like, the filming. You know,
right.
I think they're too cool for school in that sense that they're not going to get excited over it.
I didn't really see that much of a difference in the background. Honestly, no wonder that the whole New York area is called New England. It just looked like the same diff. They were in the city, it looked like New York. They were in the country, it looks like upstate New York. I'm just saying.
Well, York is a city based in England, so New York is the newer version of York.
Except if you go to New York now, you're going to see yeah. Upstate
this
New York.
This is all
it's
coming together for me
York.
Now.
He's
all
not from this country, so he doesn't know.
All coming together for me now. I'm now getting it.
So okay, so they're in the airport. They get ushered to their penthouse.
Right.
Yeah. The nicest driver / chauffeur ever.
Right. I mean, to put up with the banter, you have to be pretty calm.
I have to say one thing upon their arrival. When Sonia was wearing that hat, she looked like Diane Keaton. She looked ridiculous.
She definitely looked like Diane Keaton.
And she should never wear that hat again.
Like a porcelain Diane Keaton.
Yeah.
Yeah. That will wake up in the middle of the night from her porcelain state and just stab you. That's what her face kind of says to me.
Her face, I think I said it before, she looks like Paris Hilton's mother.
Yes. Yeah. It's almost I think Sonia's pretty, but it's like this almost killer porcelain doll face. Like, like it's kind of demented a little bit, but yet likable at the same time.
Yeah.
So we start off in the car with Carol's beef with the accents, with the faux British accents.
Because Luann was doing it the whole time. She wanted to murder her.
It was fantastic. She's like, yeah. On British people.
Right. And Carol said, are we going to have to listen to this faux British accent the whole trip? Really? You know, and it's just, again, I think it's Luann's insecurities that are coming out.
Here's the thing. Well, speaking of accents, I also find it really irritating how Luann pronounces Sonia's name. She calls her Sonia all the time. She says Sonia.
Well,
like she's European.
Did you hear the way she pronounced Switzerland? It's like you almost don't even hear her say it. It's like Swizzin. It just like brushes by. It's like a windstorm.
When they were walking through the streets in London, and she mentioned her bit at Switzerland.
She did.
Well, because she had to even out Carol's living in London.
Because she said the neighborhood reminded her of her neighborhood in
Swizzin. It's like, make a pronunciation, please, at least. Do us a favor.
Well, here's the thing, though, with what you were just saying. I think part of me feels bad for Luann because I think she so desperately is trying to be one of the girls and fit in and make jokes and be light. Because she is being light the whole series so far. She's not really bringing much drama to the table. Mm-hmm. I think she's just trying to make friends with everybody, but she's just so awkward at it.
Yeah, it's a little bit like the moms trying to fit in with their daughters. And not that I'm saying Luann's older, but it's almost that unnatural, you know, almost it seems like there's a divide a little bit where Luann, you know, because she's more sophisticated, you see her more reserved. That's her natural state.
Yeah.
It doesn't really look that natural when she's easygoing and loose. But, I mean, she doesn't bother me necessarily. No. I think she pulls on other people's, you know, annoying strings more than mine. She doesn't bother me that much. But it is unnatural. It just feels a little bit like the babysitter wants to have fun with the little girls.
Hmm.
So basically they're waiting around for Heather's meetings or whatever to be done with so that they can meet up and have some dinner
and function.
I almost thought that was a span of 2 days.
Felt like it.
Yeah. So I can imagine they were tired.
Did nothing go on in London? Like they had nothing else to show us?
Right.
Well, they went shopping because they had nothing to do all day long. Because there's nothing to do in London except shop. Because God knows it's not an extremely old country with wonderful sights to see.
Right.
But that's just me. I mean,
they went ugly shoe shopping in London.
Right.
Those shoes were so ugly.
I will say it was really funny when Sonia, she looked at the, there were like napkins. Or no, there were, it was, I wrote it down and I'm not going to find it quick enough.
There was a sewing
kit.
Yeah, needle and thread that matched bowls.
Right. And she's like, everyone needs a sewing kit that matches a cereal bowl.
Yeah.
Which I thought was funny. Because it was sitting right in there, and it was a good observation. I wouldn't usually peg her to be able to pick that stuff out.
Right.
So I thought that was funny. But she looked at the shoes with, like, a million price tags, you know, marked down, and she was like, these I can afford. But how poor is she really?
Right.
That's what I want to
know. So that's what I had a huge hard time buying into, is them complaining about... I mean, I get that she doesn't have 75 servants now, and she just has 3 interns. She doesn't have like 10 properties. She has 1 5-story apartment house in Manhattan. So I just had a hard time buying the fact that, like, I can't deal with this expensive stuff. I'm like,
I have a feeling that all she got in her divorce was the house.
Yeah.
Which, like, I've heard of divorces like that where the husband just doesn't want to deal with you, and he's like, just take the house.
And don't bother me again.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think that's what happened because she kind of poor mouths herself all the time. But the other thing that I thought was weird is she talked about when she was rich and married and had houses all over the world and whatever. She said she never flew. She never stayed in a penthouse before.
Right. She never stayed in a penthouse before, but she stayed in Barbara Streisand room. She stayed in the Frank Sinatra room.
She said two Sinatras. I thought she said, I stayed in Frank Sinatra's room and like Barbara Sinatra. I thought that's what she said.
But what room? What is she talking about?
I don't know. Well, you know, I'm like sure the, there's
like
somewhere.
The, it's like the Mr. Papa Giorgio suite in Vegas from Vegas Vacation. It's like the suites that they have that they title after people. It's like the special presidential room. They have a Barbara Streisand room somewhere and a Frank Sinatra room somewhere.
But I don't think she said Barbara Streisand. I think she said Barbara Sinatra.
She was possible. Confused.
I don't
Unless
know.
I was confused, I thought that's really weird.
But yeah, so, but she hasn't stayed in the penthouse. But she had 75 servants, so at no point in time did they get the nicest room.
Yeah,
in the
home. It doesn't make sense. It's like you weren't doing a good job of being a trophy wife then.
Yes, exactly.
Because you should have gotten those penthouses, girl.
Yeah, I mean, but with this stuff, obviously they're not making tons and tons and tons of money from being on the Housewives, but they have to be making something to where if she sees a pair of shoes in London, she can buy herself a pair of shoes. I mean, I just don't understand. You know, I'd like to know more about her financial woes, and right. I put that in quotations because for some people that would be their financial bliss.
Yeah, I mean, it's not like they're in New York eating at Chili's. You know, every place that they go to is like the in place to go to. Even their lunches are probably $100 a pop. It's not a cheap way to live. So I don't understand how the exchange rate could be so gargantuan, which it isn't, that all of a sudden they can't afford a $300 pair of Jimmy Choo's. Did I just reference the worst price ever for, what is it, like $800,000 for Jimmy Choo's? Is that the problem?
I think everyone's wearing Christian Louboutins now.
Sorry.
Jimmy Choo is a little out of
fashion. Shouldn't it just be amazing that I actually know Jimmy Choo and Manolo Blahniks? Honestly, just the fact that I could say that out loud. Anyways, but yes.
Well, we're all wearing them. We just can't see them under this table.
Exactly.
Yes, we all got them on for sure.
Believe it.
Okay, so then can we get into Carol, who tells us that she lived in Notting Hill, Julia Roberts.
Oh, yeah. She goes, I lived in this neighborhood called Notting Hill. And we're all like, we've seen the name movie a thousand times.
Exactly.
But is it really a movie that needs explanation? Like, don't most people know about Notting Hill?
Well,
it's a very well-known area in London.
Well, it just seems like when you say Notting Hill, from now on, from the point of the movie, you kind of just say, oh, you know, I lived in Notting Hill, you know, the movie. It's not like you can say Notting Hill independently anymore. Yeah. That's what it would seem to me.
She said, I lived in a neighborhood called Notting Hill.
Right. It was like we were
all
unfamiliar.
As though she was educating. Yeah.
She's like, I live in a neighborhood called upstate New York a neighborhood like what? Brooklyn. I live in like Park Avenue. It's a neighborhood called Park Avenue.
Right. It's like we're aware. We've got it. Right.
Maybe she was too busy during her princess time to watch Julia Roberts movies on replay.
Right, right.
I was like, I can quote lines. I'm just a girl looking at a boy. We all know the movie, Carol.
Funny. Well, so we have, you know, we talked about the pronunciation of Switzerland with Luann.
Say it again, please.
But that was the beginning of the little competition that I think we're going to start seeing now between Luann and Carol, which I think will definitely grow as the episodes continue, as we saw in the previews. But that was just the first little piece of it. And it's interesting to see Carol respond a little bit, because it doesn't seem like anything really seems to shake Carol.
Yeah.
But this seems like it's going to be the first thing that's going to shake her a little bit.
It's getting on her nerves.
Well, she seemed to be shaken from like the plane ride over. They're in that car ride and she's already like, okay, they've just been talking and talking, and Luann's just, you know, I thought Sonia could talk forever, but Luann's just keeping up with her. And they're still talking.
Well,
this is amazing.
Like, putting Carol on a flight with those women in the car for this many hours is like putting a dude who watches football and scratches his balls in the same scenario. It's like hell, I feel like. Because Carol you know what I mean, though? Carol's more of that type, where she's more of like the tomboy in a sense, where these women you could see them getting under her skin, like the way a dude would be like, ladies, shut the hell up, kind of deal.
Yeah.
Right.
Right.
So I can see her, you know, her hair curling at the ends, just going, ah.
Right.
She's like, I can't stand this. I have to take off my bra. I'm going to go braless.
But
I'm going to keep my fingerless gloves on to remain comfortable.
Right. I need the support in my palms.
Well, ridiculous.
You know, I mean, that's the huge difference between Carol and the rest of the women, is that these women make fun of her in a sense, or pick on her for not wearing a bra. I mean, a lot of women would, you know, because a bra, I think, is commonplace anywhere outside your house.
Yeah.
But, you know, they're so primped and clean cut and put together that someone not wearing a bra is a huge topic of conversation for them.
Yeah.
And Carol can pull it off. First of all, she doesn't have huge bazongas like flopping around where you have to worry about it. Like, her boobs are the same size as mine. If I wear a bra, you can't even tell. you know.
Okay, so can I make an...
He's like trying to change
So here's... Yeah, I'm like, these like, mental okay, images so- are conflicting with one the thought I'm trying to form in my head, which is at 50-some-odd year or whatever, late 40s, 50-year-old woman,
She's going to be 50 next year.
Can a case be made that at 50 years old, you should just wear a bra out of propriety? I mean, whether or not it's like, whether or not you have big breasts or you have small breasts, like, shouldn't you just at that point be like, it's time I put on a bra?
Yeah, probably. But again, Carol, like, at this point, I feel like, you know, she has, I think her net worth is like $50 million. Mm. So at this point, it's like,
she couldn't go without one.
You know, if you're already wherever you are, you can kind of, like, I feel like, throw expectations of the wind a little bit.
Well, clearly, because everybody else was bundled up for a fall day out in Notting Hill, and she looked like she just came back from a day at private school. She had, like, the little school, the knickers, or, like, what do you call it, the stockings that only came up to, like, halfway up her thigh, and these short boots, and everybody else is, like, pants and boots and, like, little
Ladies and gentlemen, though, meanwhile, the man who is speaking right now has his shirt unbuttoned pretty far and has no undershirt on.
Oh, yeah. So, that's okay. My David Hasselhoff look, ladies and gentlemen. Yeah.
He's Turkish, though.
I'm Turkish. I'm European. We do these things.
We expect it.
Yeah.
Well, if you guys want to buy any bras, you know where you can do it. You can do it on AfterBuzz TV.
That's right.
Just click on the Amazon logo and start your shopping from there. We just get a little kickback. You've heard us say it probably now a few times if you've been listening. And it just helps us out here at AfterBuzz to keep the lights on and the microphones working. So do that and tell your friends. Yes, thank you. So after they have kind of gotten the settling in thing, we cut to Heather in her meeting, and Heather is,
oh my god,
my worst nightmare for a boss.
When she stood up and said, "Everyone, go around the table and tell me why you love Yummy Baby."
It's like, because you pay me to. That's the only reason I give a shit.
Did you practice that? That was uncanny.
She
good.
Did too.
No, but like your voice, it was like Heather was next to me.
Oh my god, it's been ringing in my head since she said it.
That
She's
was well,
so obnoxious.
Well done, huh?
Thank you.
Huh?
Thank well, you. If you saw her, she
Thank
was.
You.
It seemed like she went from kind of straight laced to all of a sudden just like she was in Cancun. It was like there was no transition at all. It caught me really off guard, and that's the point where I started
my knee
slapping.
It was either Cancun or later on it turned into Showtime at the Apollo. Is what it is. She did, like, all of a sudden she started throwing
Def
out
Comedy Jam.
Yeah, like she was throwing out words that
urban.
Yeah, she's urban.
Urban, yeah. What did I say? All I know is it was just weird all of a sudden. It just she a few drinks and she gets very loose.
Well, no, how about the very first meeting when she, you know,
yeah,
when they're
meeting.
In that what do you call it? The showroom. When they're in the showroom and she said, you know, you guys, what'd she say? I need y'all up in here. Come join me. I can't do this on my own.
To like a bunch of people.
I want to murder you.
They're like Italians, and like French people. Are like, what is she saying? I do not understand. Up in here, we are here sitting.
Why does she do? The thing about Heather that I realized after this episode is I would actually like her if she stopped with the urban thing.
Right.
Like trying to talk like that. It's so irritating. It's so unbecoming on her because it just sounds so fake and forced and unnatural.
It sounds so 90s.
It does. It sounds like she was in college, probably maybe in the early 90s, and she's like, that's how I got on with my sisters. Right. It's sorority. Like, I don't know. It's just, I hate it. But the thing is, I realized I would like her. I really would like her if she got a nose job and if she stopped doing that.
Right. Well,
I would.
I know. The thing is, in her interviews.
She needs one.
In her interviews, when she's not trying so hard, she is likable, and her points seem to make sense.
Well, yeah. I mean, that interview was, she was concerned. Concise, to the point. She was coherent. She made her point. It was like
she was great.
Even Carol was like, "Yeah, I didn't really need to be here." She was just fine. She nailed it.
She was eloquent, which she never is when she's putting on that act.
Right. But I didn't mean the on-camera interview. But she was good at that. But I mean her interviews for
Housewives. Okay.
When she's got the little fishtail
braid. Yeah.
She just looks. You know, she looks normal or not unlikable.
Right.
And she speaks. You know, like someone that is like, okay, it's a human.
Yeah.
But it's all of a sudden when she gets around everybody, it just kind of...
I think it's her insecurity. It's her cover.
It's totally a cover.
I think maybe she feels uncomfortable in her leadership or something, or she doesn't know if people like her, and it's her way of trying to be like, look at me, I'm fine.
Yeah, but again, the people she'd probably been interacting with for so long in the urban industry... that's how she had to talk with them. So I don't think she's learned to
kind of get that out of her. Can you imagine talking to Kelly Rowland like that?
I was just saying, like, did she have to talk to them? I mean, like, what she would, Sean Combs and Beyonce be like, yo, P. Diddy, what's up, baby? How you doing? Yeah. He would look at her and be like, girl, you crazy. I'm like, I don't know what he'd say. He'd be like, don't you ever talk like that to me. Again, I'm a businessman.
It's the same kind of thing. Like, I'm half Irish, half Italian. When I get around my Italian family, I'm like, I'm like a tough guy. And then when I'm with my Irish family, just normal.
Yeah, but that's
no. But
are you laughing at her Italian?
It's like
I almost spit my water.
It's like you take on what you think is going to be more hip in the situation. Like when I'm with my Italian side family, I think they're super cool, so I want to fit in with them. But I'm not really like them.
So you say like mozzarella?
Yeah, well, kind of a little bit. You know, my dad starts to talk more with his hands, and then everyone starts to talk more with their hands, and it's like a group think kind of thing.
Okay, now...
And that's probably why she...
Great. Now, the only problem is that you do that around your family. So if she was with a bunch of people... I'm just saying, if she was around those people still, I could understand why she defaults to that mode. But she's in a group of people that wouldn't know what up in here meant if they fell up into something. I don't even know how to make that analogy, but...
A good point, though, is I make you a bet Heather never speaks that way in front of her family. Can you imagine in front of her Jewish husband going, baby?
Like, just wake up in the morning and be like, baby, holla.
But they're like professional, well-to-do Jewish husband in New York City. I just can't imagine. He'd be like, who are you?
Yeah, like a rabbi wouldn't marry
No.
Yeah, I don't know. I think she just learned it, and I think she turns it on when she's uncomfortable or she's not thinking about it, and it's her way of connecting or something with people.
I don't see why she would feel the need to be insecure about anything. I mean, at this point, it's a 4-year-old company that's gone global at this point. That's a pretty decent accomplishment.
I kind of want to work for her.
Yeah, I mean, it's taking off. You know, she came from wherever she came, but she's created a business. It's gone global. She's obviously able to hold these functions in, other foreign countries and wonderful venues. I mean, it wasn't like just any old little hotel. It was the House of Dior. So she's obviously doing well for herself. What has she got to feel insecure about?
It's just women. I think when women get around women, it doesn't matter how powerful you are. Like, I bet if Paris Hilton's around Kim Kardashian, there's a little tension. You know, it's like they're all the way up here, but it doesn't matter when it's like you're too close. You know, when you're too, if we have too much the same, you want to see who's better in that world. But so we see her at the dinner now.
Oh my God.
Which progresses more knee slapping for me because it's like you get this. When you work for a company, you're like when you own the company, you're excited because it's your baby.
Right.
But when you have employees, it's not their baby. They're babysitting your baby. And tell me if you've ever babysat a baby where you're like, I want this to be my baby. No. You want to leave and go away as soon as you're
and
out
have your own
of that
baby.
Baby's world. Right. So it's like she expects this support from everybody. It's like basically her walking up to someone, showing them her infant child who has a cleft palate and is like, tell me how great my baby is. And they're all like,
This just got awkward.
No, but it's like, it's not a cute baby necessarily.
But your analogy is...
But it's right, because then they'll all go,
no,
your baby is cute.
Yeah, she's fishing for compliments. I understand.
So doing that is so off-putting with the whole company.
It's so weird. It reminds me of like one time my boss asked me if every day I could greet her with a hug and a smile just to show that I was happy working there. I was like, you want me to smile and hug you every time you walk through the office door? And she's like, yeah, I think it'd be a great way to start the day. I was like the same thing. Like,
it's sexual harassment or something.
Yeah.
Kind of. Well, I was just like, I'm happy to work here, but I'm not going to like jump up and down every day. I mean.
Right. We're human beings.
Yeah.
So to
it's not my business.
And I mean, she is dealing with people who are from other countries that may not have that type of behavior in their repertoire. So when she's saying to this Italian man in these beautiful glasses to stand up and tell her why he loves yummy, it's like, you know, some of them you could tell were really awkward. And
They kept showing that one dude in the glasses. He looked like a deer caught in headlights. They kept showing him. He's just looking somewhere and constantly like in this fixed position. I'm just bugging out with my eyes.
Why were they all smelling the roses? Because I really wanted to say like, wake up.
Because she didn't give them food.
Yeah, but it was weird because they were all... I've never actually seen people... Because it's like you hear that phrase, like, wake up and smell the roses. Like, I wanted to say to Heather, like, wake up and smell the roses here. People are hungry and they're bored.
Hungry.
And they're literally smelling roses.
I had a theory as to why she didn't feed them. Because I thought, yummy tummy would look better on you if you weren't actually eating anything. You didn't have anything to hold in.
Right.
So I was like, maybe it was part of her ploy.
Yeah.
Because her employees were pretty skinny.
Yeah. I just didn't understand the function of the evening. I was led to believe it was a dinner party, but it sounded more like she was treating it like a corporate retreat. Like, tell everybody get up. Like, those are the icebreakers that you do in
corporate. It was a sales thing. Right. It was like, I want everyone to be excited about the product.
I want to bring everyone together.
So they can go back to their country and they'll be excited to try to sell it.
But I thought that's what you have those meetings for. And then you basically have a dinner where you just let people relax, eat, have a drink.
Well, yes.
And have social conversation to say thank you for going through all these meetings. Your meetings that were like Italy up in the house. You go, you bring Italy up, and they tell you this is whatever that guy was saying. I had to rewind.
You made me
he's
the
like,
princess,
this is
but I'm the queen.
No, I'm saying about the guy that came up from Belgium, I think, who said this one piece is my most number one winning piece. This gets me into all the stores. Like, that's the time where you guys talk and suck up and talk about a yummy tummy. And then at the dinner party, everyone stands around and says thanks for coming. Really great time. I love London. And has some food.
Yeah. Right, right.
Have some fun.
I mean, people are going to truly get excited about your product if you're not forcing them to get excited about your product.
Right.
So it just was so forced. And then my favorite was when Luann was like, well, I'm going to stand up because Carol didn't stand up. And it was almost like she was proving a point. And when she stood up, it was so uncomfortable because she really had nothing to say. She said, I'm happy to be here with all of you yummy people.
Yeah.
And then she sat back down.
I have to say, Kristen, it didn't bother me again because I just think she's trying to do the right thing.
Definitely. It just struck me funny, the cadence of the way she said it. With all of you yummy people.
Yeah.
Like, it just was kind of...
She clearly had nothing to say, but that was the thing. In Luann and Sonia's defense, and as much as I'm a fan of Carol, I actually thought that was the wrong time to decide you had a strong opinion about... how you like these functions to go. Because in the end, you are Heather's guests. You're there under the guest umbrella. Mm-hmm. And obviously, it's not expected that you... Well, Carol shouldn't have expected that she get up and list like 10 things she loves about you. I mean, she just should have just gotten up and be like, I just want to thank Heather for inviting us here. Yeah. I'm really happy to be here and I'm having a wonderful time. Whereas Luann actually, yes, that dig was... I don't know what was up with that dig. It was such a blatant dig, but she had nothing to say. She still figured something out to say. And then Sonia actually said like a nice little eloquent little speech thanked everybody, sat down. I was like, wow, that's cool. They actually went through the motions. I'd actually thought Carol picked the wrong time decide to impose a like, I ain't standing. Stand. What's it going to matter?
You're right. It made her look immature.
A little bit.
A little mature and a little bit pretentious.
Yeah.
Like I'm above
which is what
stuff.
I'd expect Luann to do. If anything, I was like, I would think Luann was like, I don't stand, you know, or something like that.
Right.
She wasn't that way.
I definitely know where you guys are coming from. Yeah. But in that moment, just being forced to do something so.
Definitely. It's still
uncomfortable. Uncomfortable is just so uncomfortable, and I you know, I think I probably wouldn't have wanted to stand. I probably would have because I don't have the balls not to.
Right.
But it took balls for Carol, but they weren't the right balls necessarily.
Right.
Yeah.
By the way, the whole time I was wondering to myself, when in her on-camera interview is Carol ever going to say how annoying she finds Heather? Because I would think that she would think that. And then she wrote back...
I tweeted her. And this is all on Twitter, right?
Yeah.
Right.
She wrote back, only when she talked too much, and even then I just zone out. L, so I guess that means Luann, is Penelope only not funny.
I don't know who
Penelope.
I have no idea who Penelope is.
Penelope, right. If you're comments, throw in some iTunes comments.
Yeah, if you know who that is, please.
Who is Penelope? It's like, where in the world is Carmen Sandiego?
Right. Yeah, I don't know, but I did see that comment to you on Twitter that
I thought maybe she was a housewife that was in the last season because I didn't watch last season.
Oh,
so I didn't know.
She's not? No. The Penelope isn't one of the... No?
No. If someone knows, please let us know.
Yeah, okay.
I don't know who Penelope is.
Interesting.
The only Penelope
anyway,
I
but I thought that was funny because I thought, you know, Carol's cool, right?
Uh-huh. Right.
And I asked her about that too. I was like, were you considered cool growing up? And she said no. She goes, I think that I'm just the easygoing one.
Right.
But she's definitely making up for her years of geekiness with trying to be cool now.
Yeah.
But
I
just
if you do go on Carol's website, there's a picture of her from high school and she just looked like a nice pretty girl. Like she didn't look like didn't look like a geek. She didn't look like she was super cool. You know, she just looked like middle of the road, nice person. So that's what I would imagine.
And
just
now thought, like, she's worth 50
how
million.
Can she not find, I mean, she found Luann putting on that British accent annoying. How could she not find Heather annoying? With all the girls,
she definitely like has. I think if we haven't seen it, I feel like we haven't seen it yet.
So I hope she does get annoyed with her.
Yeah, I think it'll come out because I think
or else I will lose all respect
if she's breaking down a little bit with Luann. I think she definitely can break down with Heather, because Heather's point of view, I feel like it's almost even bigger than Luann's, or you know, or I don't know, gritting on your nerves, I think, could come easier from Heather.
Yeah.
Right.
So now we cut to Ramona and Aviva, who have been missing
all the
terribly
action
from this episode, and I don't think they were really missing out on anything in London.
No.
At all.
I mean, even the girls' night at the penthouse was lame.
So, real quick question for you all. Now, you're ladies, if you were in a penthouse in London, but you were in a penthouse in London being the operative word, would you take one out of your three nights to just sit at home and do what you could do in your five-story mansion in the Upper East Side or Upper West Side?
No.
Whatever they are?
Probably not. Probably not, but I feel like these women have so much time and opportunity to party and go wherever they want to, that if they want to take a night in, they have a gazillion more nights that they can go out and party.
Oh, can we say something about the night in?
Yes, definitely.
Okay, so
is there a specific...
I think it was Carol.
Can we say something about the night
in? No, it was Heather.
Is this the part where you say something?
Okay, I want to say two things about the night in. One, when Heather name dropped, she said, my friend Bobby owns Polaroid. Yo. First of all, name dropping Polaroid may have been cool in like 1987.
Right.
Well, no, but Polaroid is still used every day in fashion.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. She made a point to say that.
Yeah.
But Luann from that was inspired to write a new song. And
She said she's inspired to write a new song.
She said instead of like say chic c'est la vie, she wants to do chic c'est la gangster or something.
Yeah, gangster chic. Yeah.
What is this? Okay. That was annoying. And then the second, I have one other thing. When they played the game about like where have you had sex, like the most risque thing, all they showed was Luann saying she did it on a ping pong table, which I was like, really? That's all the juice you have? And then secondly, for a classy woman, as she likes to call herself, you're never supposed to talk about where you've had sex.
Right.
Right, right.
So she broke her own rules.
Right.
Yeah,
the countess doth broken her rules.
Well, she'll reference a social etiquette rule from a social etiquette book, and then she'll...
She did at dinner.
She did at dinner.
She made sure to be like, I usually don't... It's not polite to start unless everyone's at the table. And then she's like, I took a little bite. I don't know.
Right,
no one saw me.
Right.
And then at the end of it, she's like, ping pong table, I got it all.
Right. And they're pretty sturdy, like, she said. She's not a small woman. To have sex on a ping pong table...
Well, it's kind of it's not the most sturdy thing.
No. Right. I have a ping pong table in my house. I could barely handle the ball.
Chris is like, I have a ping pong table in my house. I can tell you personally that is not comfortable. You're like, whoa, wait a minute.
No, you didn't hear my punchline. It could barely handle the ping pong ball.
I love it.
Which is made out of like air. That night, I don't think we really saw much exciting. The glasses.
Oh, the glasses were the ugliest thing. Heather, get rid of those.
Right. And Heather said, which was, I thought, brushed over, because I think she really insulted the women, because I really truly think she doesn't think they know fashion.
Right.
And she said, you guys wouldn't know fashion if it like hit you in the head or something like that.
Oh, no. Ouch. She said something even better. Should I do it now? I was saving it for what they should have said later.
No. Save it for later.
Yeah, save it for later. But yeah, that was awesome.
Yeah. So I definitely think that she got away with saying that, but the women, there's a party going on somewhere. I don't think anyone else on the air can hear, but we can hear a little party happen next door. But Heather definitely got away with saying that, and I was surprised that no one said, whoa, you know, they all take themselves so seriously that I thought they would have caught her on that, to insult them that way.
And Carol seems like definitely the most fashionista of them all.
Yeah.
Yeah, Carol, like we talked about last week, Carol is kind of like the undercover Carrie Bradshaw.
Big time.
Totally big time.
That's exactly who she's trying to be.
Yeah.
Have you looked at her website? Okay, on her website, you guys go to her website. You will see a collage on the main page of her website with an ashtray, chopsticks, pearls, a camera, a laptop, and then it says
and Carrie Bradshaw.
And then it says, I was thinking, is it about love or is it about sex? I mean, it sounds like a narrative
of Sex and the City.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And then she's like, that's when I was inspired to write my book. And then she does like a blurb about the book. But it's like, you're trying so hard to be her.
Right.
But you've got to go look at this picture. It's like so like she grabbed every cool thing she could think of in her apartment and put it in the little thing.
Right. Well, we mentioned last week that because she now has the Okay. So now that she has the TV show that probably will be on air, you know, and it's about sex and love in the city and everything, that it could definitely clearly mirror that.
I don't know if there's anything undercover about her Carrie Bradshaw anymore.
Yeah.
I think she's now overcovered.
It's pretty obvious.
Yeah. Well, in we're going to go to commercial in a second, but I did want to let you guys know that there's an awesome new iTunes app that you can download. It's free, and it organizes and stores all of your subscriptions to your podcasts.
Oh, that's
so you
cool.
can keep all of us wrapped up in a cute little bow right inside your phone.
Aww.
So if you download it, it's just going to help you stay organized, and it's a really functional, good app. And again, it's free. So on that note, I think we're going to go to commercial.
Roll it.
When we come back, we'll talk about a few more things, and then we'll go into a couple segments. And yeah.
Holla.
Holla.
Hey there, good buddies. The handle's Wooly Bear. I'm a truck driving man, but I'm not that old school kind of truck driving man, no. I like to listen to podcasts while I'm driving through these great United States of ours. And my favorite podcasts in the world are from AfterBuzz TV. And why? Because AfterBuzz TV is like a post-game wrap-up show for all your favorite TV shows, like Jersey Shore, Dancing with the Stars, Mad Men, and a whole truckload more. I like listening to my Gossip Girl podcast, catching up with all my fellow fans and getting all the latest news and gossip. No, I got some strong opinions. And AfterBuzz TV lets me share those opinions with thousands of other listeners. Woo-wee, what a feeling. I used to doze off on those lonely stretches of road. And don't worry, I got the cruise control. But now I'm wide awake and listening to all the AfterBuzz TV goodness. Check them out. Give them a holler. And tell them the old Wooly Bear sent you.
Hey, you guys, welcome back from the Wild West. You are here with three awesome hosts discussing The Real Housewives of New York, Season 5, Episode 6. Back to what we were chatting about, which was the night in the penthouse. We didn't see much. Hopefully next week there's more with the bidet. But moving on from the bidet, or the penthouse, I want to talk about Ramona and Aviva a little bit. But
yes.
Ramona specifically... also mirroring Sex and the City, because she gave a speech at the Learning Annex, which Carrie Bradshaw did as well. I wouldn't compare Ramona to Carrie.
Yeah, no.
But she gives this quote-unquote like talk or whatever on how to succeed. And we only got, you know, this could be due to the editing, but we only got two lines from her, and they were the exact same line. So
same
it was the
twice.
Same line twice, which was, if I can do it, you can do it.
If I can do it, you can do it. And the other thing that was kind of irritating to me about that whole segment is that they did the whole, Ramona's running around, she's running late because she's trying to find a place to use the bathroom beforehand. And it's like, we've already seen the running late for the speech thing at Sonia's thing with the gay and lesbian center. It's like, don't try to pull the same card twice. We've already been there, done that.
Right.
And you know it's fixed, and so... set up. So I thought that was stupid.
Yeah, I agree. We also had the issue with the table. Do you think that was real?
No.
Does anyone say the words, I repeat myself, by the way?
What was that?
Ramona is like, I repeat myself. Does anyone say that ever? Is that even grammatically correct? She's like, I repeat myself. If I can do it, you can do it.
Yeah, I don't think that's grammatically correct.
Grammatically, I think it would be, I'll
yes, or
myself.
Allow me to, or like, please let me repeat something, anything.
Or I'm going to say it again.
But, however, in her defense, that table did look better. The second table did
look
better.
It did look better. If it was natural, then good for her for sticking up for herself. I don't have the balls to do that kind of stuff. I'd be like, okay, if it's a small table, okay, or whatever.
She doesn't really say nice things to people that are employees of service
places.
No,
and that's the thing.
What's that all about?
If you came from nothing, remember the people that are also nothing.
Thank you.
Which you need to treat them a little bit nicer.
Did she come from nothing? Was she a self-made woman?
Well, apparently her... they didn't have that much, I don't think. But basically her backstory is that her father was really abusive toward her mother. And her mother was stuck with her father because she had no source of income. And the one thing that her mother always expressed to Ramona was to be able to sustain yourself. So so basically Ramona has her whole life had the goal to have money so that she never had to stay with a man because of that.
Hmm.
So, you know, she takes that seriously. But she said people in a side interview, she said, people call me controlling, but I call myself a successful businesswoman.
Yeah.
But it's like, yes, you're the only one who calls yourself that.
Yes.
Like, we get it.
Yeah.
A lot of people do call me controlling. I don't see how she succeeded that much in business, though. I don't know how she could have done it. I guess she did it, but I can't really see it. I can't close my eyes and picture that happening.
That's all she says.
Yeah, but I guess it's true.
Where are you in the success spectrum when you're lecturing at the Learning Annex?
Which has been mentioned before. Remember when Heather, when they met together at Heather's office, and Heather said, if I were on the Learning Annex cover, I would be questioning my career, not bragging about it.
And I'm just, I'm not making a judgment. I'm actually asking, like, I don't know where the Learning Annex rates, because I remember that I think Carrie Bradshaw in Sex and the City does that as well. So I'm like, what is that?
Well, I mean,
I don't think so. I mean, if you look at the venue, it was like a Holiday Inn and a, you know,
it was the Nassau Banquet Room at some hotel. It said Nassau Banquet Room 1.
And not all the chairs were full.
Yeah.
So
Nassau, isn't that Long Island?
Yeah.
Oh my God, it wasn't even in Manhattan. Yeah. It's embarrassing.
Oh my God.
Well, poor, you know, I feel bad for Ramona in a sense, because I feel like she's just been ousted so badly in the season. But
well, she's making herself look absolutely crazy.
She is. She is. And I think her not being fired from the season and the other woman being fired, I think that really went to her head and her eyeballs. So speaking
of
eyeballs. And
they stuck her eyeballs.
Right. So let's talk about Aviva's leg reveal to Ramona.
Oh, my God.
And Ramona...
I made the quick observation. For all those people keeping track, it was the 8-minute mark. Is that a new record for Aviva mentioning her leg? It was the 8-minute mark in the episode. That might be a new record. I don't know.
I think it was only made a record because they didn't show Aviva till 8 minutes in.
That's true. Exactly.
Right?
Exactly.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, when Aviva revealed how real looking her leg was, Ramona's eyes went crazy, but if I was Aviva, I'd be like, are those real eyes?
Yeah.
Like, are
what
those
was that
prosthetics?
Reaction, though? What was that reaction, honestly? It was,
really
is it editing that she just holds it that long and she just consistently, her eyes just bug out, and they held that for like a good 2-3 minutes. What is that reaction?
It's crazy.
What is that?
I think they're milking that. I think it's so funny and entertaining that like these eyes can't be real. So I think
why can't Ramona bring herself to understanding that's possible, that you can have a prosthetic leg, that it could have makeup on it.
I will say, in Ramona's defense, it's a real ass looking leg.
No, it's great.
You don't see legs that look like.
Absolutely. And she has the money to be able to maintain those.
If it were like from, you know, in my family, we'd have a wooden peg. If that.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it is impressive. So when Aviva gets a little bit perturbed, if I'm saying that
perturbed.
Correct. Perturbed, thank you. If she gets a little bit thrown off that someone can't believe her leg, it's like, well, you're not living in everyone else's world who doesn't see this every day.
Right.
So I don't think Aviva should be that like thrown off by that.
Can it also be said that she can't be thrown off by that by when she makes it such a point to mention that here and there? So you either are very silent about it and try to keep it on a down low completely and allow people to come up with their own reactions to it, or you talk about it and you don't freak out when everybody reacts to it. Does that make sense?
Right. Definitely.
I had a theory that Ramona saw the leg at the very, very beginning of the season before they started filming, and her eyes bugged out, and then they just kind of stayed that way. They froze.
Right.
I think that maybe that was the first scene they filmed all season.
That might be. Now, in Ramona's defense, I thought her Heather impersonation, did anyone else start knee slapping at the Heather impersonation?
Really,
I thought it was
good.
Spot on. That was phenomenal.
Yeah, it was really good.
She's Heather, with that pageant smile and that... Hi.
And she does that thing. I can't even do it, but it was phenomenally well done.
She was phenomenal at it. I read an article that commented saying, oh, wow. Yeah.
It was good.
That was
good.
Really
She's
good.
Funny.
Good for her. Yeah. No, that was actually a really nice, genuine moment for her.
Yeah. Well, I think we're kind of getting a little bit behind schedule, so I'm going to go a little bit quicker and just kind of blow through a few things. Heather, in her interview, did a good job. The woman who interviewed her sound just like Mrs. Doubtfire. I was like, is that Robin Williams?
I think she was Welsh.
He was hit by a run by Fruity.
I mean, it was identical to Mrs. Doubtfire.
I couldn't understand it. And Heather managed to look like she understood what was going on.
Yeah, yeah. Fantastic. Good for her.
Right. And then, let's see, just as we finish this up, Aviva and Ramona had dinner together. I think Aviva is still very two-faced. Yes. So anyway, I think she's two-faced. I think that
Aviva,
it's going to come out more and more, but she keeps saying, oh, I'm not into that. I'm not into that.
Yeah.
But anyway, I think we are going to go into predictions.
Predictions.
And now, your AfterBuzz TV predictions.
I was kind of just doing like miniature predictions, but now this is the official predictions.
Official predictions, okay.
Yeah.
We definitely are going to see stuff between Luann and Carol. Yes?
Yeah.
Yes.
I think that's right on it.
Yeah. Do you think it's going to get heated, or do you think they were editing it to maybe make it look more exciting than it was?
I think it'll be snarky, not heated, because I can't imagine Carol like raising her tone, but I could imagine her being like, I'm going to outsmart you and outsnark you.
Right. Well, there was a shot where when they were playing whatever game they were playing, Luann was like, come on, or, you know, hurry up, what are you doing? And Carol looked up and just kind of gave her, like, a death stare. Mm-hmm. Like, bitch, if you keep pushing me. It was kind of one of those. So mm-hmm. I'm hoping that it builds and blows a little bit. And it would be awesome if we had Carol on next week, where if there was some drama, we could chat with her about it. That would be really exciting.
Yeah. Yes, hopefully she will.
Heather also was, like, saying, I think Carol doesn't like Ramona, or I don't think Carol likes Luann. So I don't know if Heather's going to get involved, because I think she was speaking up a little bit about it.
Yeah.
But maybe we could see Heather involved. lastly, I just want to say also, Heather and Ramona are definitely going to have a blow up. Like, when you pop a zit,
I hope so.
This is the main moment.
I hope so. That's going to be awesome.
Yeah,
it's really in this corner. Ding, ding, ding.
Yeah, well, if you guys want to tune in next week, we'll be back at the same time Tuesday at 9 p.m. Otherwise, download us on iTunes and watch us on YouTube. And again, you can follow us on Twitter and check out our stuff. But you can follow me at twitter.com/Kristen Carney, KristenCarney.
And you can follow me at Molly Comedy, MOLLY Comedy.
And you can follow me at Yerman Gur, YERMANGUR.
All right. Well, thanks for tuning in, guys, and we will see you next week.
From Bing.com, executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.